Hello, saints. It's good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, our prayer today is that we will see you. We want greater intimacy with you. We want greater encounters with you. And we want greater fellowship with you, Holy Spirit. And we want to feel what you feel, know what you know, and think how you think, glory to God. We want to see you, Lord, raise up this generation that would press through all of his old, worn-out religions, that would press through anything in our hearts that would try to hinder us until you would stop dead in your tracks and take a look at us, Lord. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, make us be that wonderful man and woman of God that you want us to be by walking in the victory of your word, Lord, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Well, that's what I want to talk about is walking in victory. How many of you know that God wants you to walk in victory in every area of your life? Have you tried to break through to that next level of victory, but it seems to be just beyond your grasp? You see people searching for victory. You also see people living defeated lives. They know that God wants them to have victory over every circumstance, but they don't understand how to win it. They don't quit. They keep on struggling, but their battles are ongoing. And others have just given up. They've decided, well, I guess that's just the way it's going to be. But we need to rise above the average, don't we? And it's really important for us not to accept an average routine life as the norm. God doesn't intend for our lives to be routine or average. When we think of an average life, we probably think of someone who is enduring the daily grind. Living an average life is like talking on a cell phone when it only has a couple of bars on the screen. It isn't receiving a very strong signal. That phone is operating, but it keeps cutting in and out and even drops the calls completely. Listen, God wants all of us to raise the bar in our lives. He wants us to come up higher, and he wants us to know that he has a way for us to live with full bars, spiritually as well as physically. Because, you see, we're living two lives at the same time. We're living the spiritual life and the natural life. And to operate on full bars, we need to know how to let the spiritual life dominate the natural life. And if we want to operate from the spiritual side, we must allow the supernatural power of God's word to become the dominant force in our natural life. Because, you see, God has given those of us who are born again authority to rule over the circumstances that we encounter here on this earth. He never intended for us to be defeated by our circumstances. And he doesn't intend for us to be changed by our world. He intends for us to change our world. You know, God wants to do some wondrous things in our lives, and he wants to take us to the place of victory where he has already planned for us to be. He wants us to have everything that his word says belongs to us. And his word tells us that Jesus came to give us an extraordinary life of abundance. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly." That means to the full till it overflows, glory to God. And actually, the gospel teaches a very simple message of faith, but we live in a world that is controlled by our enemy, the devil. And one of his primary goals is to complicate our lives and confuse our thinking so he can keep us focused on the circumstances around us instead of on God's word. When you got your mind stayed on God's word, that's the key to your victory. That's staying focused on the promises that God has for us. Now, I ain't denying that people have problems and the problems of life can be complicated. Mountains of difficulties are inevitable, and they come to every one of us. The devil will try to raise everything he can against us to limit us and keep us from rising to the next level of victory that the Lord has for us. But God has a plan to empower us to rise to a new level. God wants all of His children to experience life unlimited. But there are many obstacles we encounter in our physical lives that try to limit us. And the circumstances of life try to limit us. The economic problems in the world today try to limit us. And the more we talk about those natural circumstances, the more we will keep our eyes on them. When we begin to focus on the natural circumstances, we take our eyes off God's promises. And His promises tell us He will keep us, take care of us, and meet all of our needs. To walk by faith, we have to focus on the promises of God. And the more we do this, the more we can change the circumstances and situations in the natural realm. We no longer have to conform to the natural world that we see around us. Romans 12, verse 2 says that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds to God's Word. That means we can change. But in order to do so, we have to stay focused on God's Word. The Bible tells us that God wants us to prosper in every area of our lives, just as our souls prosper. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That verse right there is a promise God has given us as believers. But even under the old covenant, God had only good plans for His people. If you remember when the Israelites were living in captivity in a foreign land, if they focused on their condition in the natural world around them, they had no hope. But God assured them through the prophet Jeremiah that He had good plans for them. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end." God told them He had hope in their latter end for them. A future and a hope. He was saying, I hadn't forgotten you. And I want you to know that you have a future. Praise God. He's saying the same thing to us today in His Word. We have a future and a hope. God wants us to live in the promised land while we're here on earth. And the promised land is a land of more than enough. It represents security, provision, safety, and a better life. It means that we're operating on full bars. Sometimes people think of heaven as a type of promised land, and they sing songs about the sweet by and by, the happy day when we reach Canaan land and all of our struggles will be over. They are actually deferring the promises of God to sometime in the future. If we look at the characteristics of the promised land and of heaven, we see that the promised land could not be a type of heaven. The Israelites had enemies in Canaan land. They had to fight battles. Thank God we won't have to do any fighting in heaven. Praise God. The fighting we do is right here on earth. We fight faith battles to obtain the promises of God. The Bible teaches us that the promised land is a type of life that's available to us here on earth. And it's a life of victory and blessing, a life of operating on full bars. And we need to think God's thoughts. Through incorrect religious thinking, many people have a wrong picture of God. They've been taught that God makes us sick. And they think that He causes not only sickness, but all sorts of other difficulties to teach us something. They've been deceived by the devil to picture God in the wrong way. They see God as sitting up in heaven, just waiting for them to make a mistake so he can swat them down like a fly. Listen, think of it this way. Do loving parents act horribly to their children, or do they make them sick to teach them something? No, they don't. Any parent who does those things is guilty of child abuse. Now think about this for a moment. If God were physically on earth today causing horrible things to happen to his children, he'd be accused of child abuse too, but God is not a child abuser. Now the devil, he loves to convince us that we have to go through life with barely enough to get by. He tries to trap us into thinking that if we can just make it through this world and reach heaven, we're doing pretty well. And yes, if we're born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to make it to heaven. But if our thinking is limited, we will never experience the life that God says belongs to us here on earth. We may know that God wants to bless us, but we may not have any idea how to receive those blessings. Or we may have simply grown weary waiting for our circumstances to turn around. So we lower our expectations and think, well, I ought to just sit over here and be satisfied with what I have and where I am. We lower our own bars. And some of us settle for living below God's standards because we think that's what it means to be thankful for all he has given us. Yeah, it's important to be thankful for all God has done for us, but that doesn't mean we ought to be satisfied with living below the level of victory and abundance that he desires for us. When we discover what God has for us in his word and understand how to receive it, we can live on all four bars all the time. And as we become more and more involved with the truth of God's word, we can be set free from any wrong religious thinking we might have. God wants us to read and study the word, believe it, and speak it. So we're ready when the devil brings circumstances to try to take our focus off of God's promises. God has blessings upon blessings for us. But before we can receive his abundance, some things have to change within us. We can begin by changing our thoughts. It says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh within himself, so is he." The average life is a reflection of the way we think, and so is the extraordinary life. If we view ourselves as average, we will probably have an average life. But when we begin to think thoughts that are in line with God's word, then we begin to add bars of strength in our thought life. And if we want to experience the extraordinary life that God has for us, we need to start thinking his thoughts. Well, what does God think? Matthew 19:26 says, "With God all things are possible." And it also says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things in him that strengthens me." And if we want to think like God thinks, we need to let this thought dominate our thinking. I can't be defeated. I ain't going to quit. The Lord will do amazing things in your lives when we change our thinking. Thinking God's thoughts gives us the kind of attitude we need in order to succeed in the spiritual and the natural realms. And this kind of attitude keeps us going when the cares of the world, the pressures of life, and the economic report try to limit and defeat us. It keeps us going when everybody around us is saying that we can't have what God has said in his word we can have. And this attitude says, when I look at what is going on around me, the only thing I consider is what the word of God says, glory to God. Because the enemy will tell you, just sit down and be satisfied with where you are. Just be thankful that God has let you get this far. He will say, your dreams will never come to pass. You're not going to make it. When he does that, you can declare, Mr. Devil, according to Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. And I'm not going to be satisfied with second best. I will receive all the promises God has told me about in His Word, glory to God. God doesn't want us to be destitute. He doesn't want us to be sick. He doesn't want us to live a beaten down life. He is a miracle working God, and He wants to do supernatural things for us. His Word shows us the way to live an abundant life. And if we read His promises, believe them in our hearts, speak them out of our mouths, we're going to see the spiritual dominate the natural. And we're going to be able to operate on all four bars. You know, God wants to make use of the natural abilities that He has given us in combination with His supernatural ability. And that's what will launch us into the next level that He has for us. Because the natural and the supernatural coming together make an explosive force for God, glory to God. When God's supernatural power comes together with our natural abilities, He will help us become successful. And we'll stand head and shoulders above everybody else around us. Now let's look at an incident in the life of Peter that illustrates what we're talking about here. Look at Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, put out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at thy word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets were breaking. And they beckoned unto their partners in the other boat that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Well, let's look at the natural realm first. I want you to notice that Peter and his crew had already fished all night long, because that was their pattern. They went out in the evening because that was the best time to fish. It's possible to fish any time, but there's always a best time to fish. Here in Tennessee, the bass fishermen get up early if they want to catch more fish in these freshwater lakes around here. But notice, Peter and his crew had worked all night and caught nothing. Have you ever done something like that? Have you ever worked and toiled, but you didn't seem to have anything to show for it? For example, in the financial realm, many people have worked with their natural skills alone to invest their money, but they ended up with nothing. Man often encounters impossibilities, so many times our knowledge is not enough. Our strength is not enough, and our resources are not enough. We need help. And God has help for us. Look at Luke 18, verse 27. But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. When Jesus told Peter to go into the deep water and let down the nets, Peter and his crew had already returned from doing that very thing. And it would have been real easy for Peter to have said, well, wait a minute, Jesus. I'm the professional fisherman here. You're the preacher. We don't fish in the daytime around here. The night is when the fish are running. But instead, Peter believed the word Jesus spoke to him. But in order to respond to that word, Peter had to do something in the natural. He had to take action. And we need to be willing to take action whenever he tells us to. If we want to experience the blessings God has for us, we have to be willing to do what he tells us to do, even if it doesn't make sense in the natural. We need to be willing to respond and take action. And like Peter, we need to step out and obey. Our obedience gives God something to work with. And our obedience gives God room to work in our lives. Too many people are walking around on a spiritual high, and yet they never get involved in the natural realm. They don't do what they need to do in the natural to receive God's blessings. In other words, they're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. But on the other hand, some people are too natural minded to be any heavenly good. And yet, there's a middle of the road where you bring the natural and the supernatural together. Now, what you think would have happened if Peter had said, "Now, Lord, we're too tired right now. Go ahead and let us sleep for a while, and then we'll go back out there and fish." What would have happened if his crew had said, "Look, Peter, we've already worked all night. We're almost finished putting the nets out to dry." What if they had said they didn't want to go out again because they didn't want to work their overtime? What kind of a haul would Peter and his crew have had then? Nothing. No haul, no fish, no nothing. So many times, in order to receive the blessings of God, we got to do something extra, something a little bit out of the way. In our humanity, we don't always like to do anything that causes us to go out of our way, do we? And one thing I've learned is that if we're going to enjoy life, we need to be flexible. We need to allow for some give and take. Doing something extra in the natural and being flexible so that we're ready to obey can set the stage for God to do something in the supernatural realm. And it's important to stand on the word, but it's also important to take action. You may have had experience where you started believing God for some extra money. Maybe God blessed you by opening up a job in your area of expertise, and then the extra money came. When we do a little extra, God adds a bigger blessing. And many times when I've done something extra, I've received a greater blessing even beyond the one I expected. Now let's look back at the story of Peter letting down his nets for a catch. The first clue that the explosive force of God was beginning to work was when Jesus said to Peter, "Put out into the deep water and let the nets for a catch." Jesus gave Peter a word to obey. And for the supernatural to come together with the natural, we need to know what God's word says. And we need to be quick to obey. Even though obeying Jesus was contrary to everything Peter knew about fishing, he did just like Jesus said. But just think about the amount of effort it took to obey Jesus. Just think about this for a moment. Peter and his crew were tired. They'd fished all night long. They had already unloaded the nets from their ship. They had stretched them out, washed them, hung them out to dry. They had cleaned the boat and prepared it for the next night's fishing. Then Jesus told them, "Y'all going back out there on the water." When we think about this story, we usually just think about the huge catch. But before the huge catch, Peter and his crew put a huge amount of natural effort into preparing to obey Jesus. This was the natural and the supernatural coming together to make an explosive force for God. If we want to connect with the supernatural, we have to be willing to make a large effort in the natural. In the natural, Peter's crew hadn't been able to catch any fish that night. But in the supernatural, when Jesus told them to go out again, that the fish were there waiting to receive that supernatural manifestation, they had to make an effort in the natural. They had to put everything back into the boat, load the nets, then push the boat off, get in, and go back out on the water. Now, if you'll notice, Jesus didn't say just to go a little way out from the shore. He said, "Put out into the deep water." The deep is some distance from the shoreline. The crew had to put more toil and effort into going out on the deep waters than they would have to fish along the shoreline. But when Peter obeyed the word Jesus gave him, the natural met the supernatural. And of course, the supernatural was there waiting for him all along. But when the natural and supernatural came together, the catch was so great they filled two boats, almost sinking both of them. So if we want the explosive force of God to be unleashed in our lives, we need to know how to cooperate with the supernatural. And we can do this by taking four simple steps. First, we need to know what God's word said. Second, we need to believe what it says. Third, We need to say what His Word says. And fourth, we need to act on what it says. That's a simple message, but it has powerful results. When Abraham was waiting for the promise of an heir to be born, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 5. Abraham didn't have any descendants, but everywhere he went, he introduced himself as the father of many nations. He knew the word God had given him. He believed it, said it, and acted on it. The natural met the supernatural, releasing the explosive force of God, and the promises came to pass. Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, Genesis 21, verses 1 through 3. You know, and when we put our hand to something in the natural in accordance with God's word, His supernatural power becomes available to us. And if we have a need and sow a seed by putting money in a needy person's hand, we have put the supernatural power of God at our disposal. Obedience to the word means putting action to our faith by doing something. And when we read about Jesus healing people, in so many cases we see that He told them to do something. Take up your bed and walk. Go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. Stretch forth your hand. John chapter 5, verse 8. John chapter 9, verse 7. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 13. In other words, He told them to act on their faith. When we know what God's word says, believe it, say it, and do it, the explosive force of God will begin to work for us, and it'll change our lives. It'll change our community. It'll change our world. God wants us to be successful, but we'll never achieve this success He desires for us by operating strictly in the natural or strictly in the supernatural realm. It will only happen when the natural and supernatural come together. Then we will ignite God's power and rise to the next level in our walk with Him. Glory be to God. We often hear news stories about people who inherit a great deal of money or win the lottery ticket, and only a year or so later, they're already broke. If they've never had much money in the past and never learned the principles behind handling money, they don't know what to do with it. Their thoughts are usually focused on how to spend money, not on how to invest their money and receive a good return. They may end up having more material goods, but financially they go right back where they were before. They lose all the money because they never learned how to handle finances properly. Their thinking about money needed to change. Each new day, we are poised on the brink of possibilities. If we grab hold of the promises of God, we can rise to a new level of living. And of course, breaking into a new level requires new thought patterns and new ways of doing things, because people at each level operate according to a distinct set of thoughts, ideas, and principles. We are all at different levels in the natural. And as we grow, we change our way of thinking. An adult has a different way of thinking from a six-year-old. The six-year-old doesn't understand how to operate on the level of an adult. But an adult who uses higher level thinking skills will see things about the way the six-year-old operates that the child does not see. And we know that God's thoughts are different from man's thoughts. They are thoughts from another level. And as we read God's word, we form new thought patterns. And this will cause us to see things differently and rise us to a new level, both in the spiritual and the natural realms. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God wants us to think His thoughts so that He can speak to us, to our spirits. He has designed us to think His thoughts in order to move on to the next level, spiritually and naturally. And if we operate only according to our own thoughts, we'll stay right where we are. You see, man's thoughts are dictated by the limitations of our physical, earthly environment. But God's thoughts are not. In the story of Peter launching out for a miracle catch, we saw that God's thoughts don't always make sense to man's natural mind. The world doesn't understand God's thinking because his thinking and man's thinking are on two different levels. God doesn't think in terms of 24 hours in a day and 365 days in a year. He thinks in terms of eternity. People sometimes think the word teaches us mainly about the spirit, but it also teaches us a great deal about the mind. Romans 12:2, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the Bible also instructs us to use our minds to meditate on God's word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. You know, it's one thing to know what God's thoughts are by reading the Bible. It's another thing to meditate on those things and begin to put them into action in our lives. And of course, we don't have to wonder what God thinks about us. All we have to do is look in His Word. His Word tells us that we're healed. 1 Peter 2:24. His Word tells us we're blessed. Ephesians 1:3. His Word tells us that He meets all of our needs. Philippians 4:19. His Word tells us we're more than conquerors in every area of life. Romans 8:37. And if you continually struggle in a certain area, your thoughts might be what's holding you captive. We see an example of this when God was ready to take the Israelites into the promised land. They knew God wanted them to go in and possess the land, but they didn't do it because they believed their own thoughts over God's thoughts. Their thoughts held them captive and kept them from receiving the promise God had for them. They had a slave mentality that they had brought with them from Egypt instead of the conquering mentality God wanted them to have. Moses sent 12 spies to look at the land, one man from each tribe. And when they returned, they reported their findings. Numbers 13:26-27. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. But then all the spies, except for two of them, gave what the Bible calls an evil report in Numbers 13:32. And it calls it an evil report. The ASV calls it an evil report. And any time we don't believe in line with God's word, we believe an evil report. Just bear that in mind. The 10 spies looked at the circumstances instead of God's promise, and they were overwhelmed. Numbers 13:28-30. Howbeit, the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And Amalek dwelleth in the land of the south, and the Hittite and the Jebusite and the Amorite dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwelleth by the sea and along by the side of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And the 10 spies told the Israelite community that they had indeed found a great land, one flowing with milk and honey. But then they went on to give the evil report. The cities were large and walled. Powerful people, even descendants of Anak, which refers to the giants, lived in the land. The 10 spies looked at the circumstances and said, "We can't do it. We can't take the land. We cannot take the land." Even after Caleb responded by speaking in line with God's promises, the 10 spies continued with their evil report. Numbers 13, verses 31 through 33. But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come of the Nephilim. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." The people must have gone into an uproar when they heard that negative report, because Caleb, he had to silence them down. They had come all the way from Egypt, and just as they were on the threshold of entering the land God had promised them, they received this terrible report. But Caleb encouraged the people according to God's thoughts. He told them, "We can take this land." To Caleb, this was a fact. There was no question in his mind. And he didn't say, "Let's have a prayer meeting to see if this is really the will of God." No, he knew it was God's will for them to have the land. The 12 people Moses selected to spy out the land were all considered leaders. In verse 2, they were chosen to help Moses direct the affairs of the people. And the two spies who kept their eyes and thoughts on God's promise instead of the circumstances were Caleb and Joshua. They followed their convictions. Joshua chapter 14, verses 7-8. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Joshua and Caleb gave the people a good report, one in line with God's thinking. Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that spied out the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Joshua and Caleb knew the promise that God had given them and were determined to receive it. They kept their minds focused on it. They had faith. They believed, and they went in and possessed the land God had said belonged to them. But they had to wait 40 years to do it because the rest of the people let the evil report influence their thinking. Because Joshua and Caleb said, "We can," and they were the only two from the first generation who went in and possessed the land. And God chose one of them, Joshua, to be the leader. Now, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Now, it came to pass, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given it, as I spake unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, at the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your border. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. This generation of Israelites thought differently from the previous one. And before they could possess the promised land, they had to exchange their slavery mentality for a conquering mentality. The slavery mentality said, I can't do it. I can't do that. The conquering mentality says, all things are possible. I can conquer. I will have all God has promised me. And many people in the midst of the battle are like the 10 spies who based their thinking on the circumstances around him. The spies said, we saw the giants, and we were as grasshoppers in their sight. We can't attack those people and win. They're too strong for us, and the cities are well fortified. We can't take the land. Like the Israelites, many people today are defeated by their own thoughts. Oh my God, what am I going to do now? Why is this happening to me? God told the Israelites that he was going to give them the land, but he never promised they wouldn't have to fight any battles. And when Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Numbers 13 and 30. He was saying they were going to have to exercise some authority to take possession of what they knew belonged to them. And once they crossed into the promised land, they faced taking Jericho, probably the greatest walled city ever known to mankind. They had to fight to take the rest of the land. And Canaan, with all of its good and abundance, represents to us a type of the faith walk. God has given us many promises in his word, but we're going to have to fight some faith battles if we want to possess those promises. And when we keep our thoughts focused on the good plan that God has for us and believe his word, we're going to come through every test and every trial and every battle victoriously. Praise be to God. And like Joshua and Caleb, we need to have a report of faith instead of saying, oh God, what are we going to do now? We need to have that conquering mentality. We need to say, I'm not going to let that devil defeat me. I'll not let the devil have my family or my marriage or my health. There's nothing that can destroy me because God is on my side. And we need to change our thinking. Our thinking is not supposed to be based on what we see, feel, taste, touch, or smell. And right thinking produces right believing. And right believing produces victorious results. Wrong thinking produces doubt, unbelief, and wrong action, which gives us nothing but defeat and death. And I don't know about you, but I choose victory. The greatest battles ever fought are fought in our minds. It's our mentality that conquers us, not the enemy. Crisis comes to all of us. And when they do, we have to be so full of God's thoughts that when we're squeezed by the enemy, what comes out of us is the word. It's like dipping a sponge in water. When you squeeze that sponge, water's going to come out. When the enemy comes against you and starts squeezing, what will come out? Oh my God, what are we going to do? Or will you square your shoulders, stand strong and courageous, and let the word come out of you? You're going to a new level. It takes a little bit of courage. It takes a lot of courage. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous to observe, to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest have good success whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not affrighted, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And if you'll notice that the Lord told Joshua three times to be strong and courageous. The weak of heart never accomplish anything. We have to be and must be courageous, willing to step out by faith with nothing underneath us but God's word. And when we meditate on the word of God and think in line with his word, it gives us the strength and courage we need to possess the next level. And as we're going to the next level, it's good to remind ourselves of the blessings of God. Psalms 103 and 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And a lot of times, thinking about God's blessings keeps our minds off of our circumstances. Singing praises to the Lord keeps our minds focused on him. And those of us that have been in the military know that singing a cadence as we march along keeps our minds off our sore feet, our aching backs, or anything else that's hurting. The Israelites from the first generation certainly weren't thinking about God's blessings. They were completely focused on the giants, the fortified cities, and all the other circumstances that were keeping them from possessing the land. Time and again, they had seen God's miracles. The Lord had shown them his power. He had taken care of them in the wilderness. But instead of stirring up their faith by remembering his blessings, they simply said, "We can't take the land." And they died in the wilderness without receiving God's promise. But that second generation refused to follow in their footsteps because they focused on God's blessings and allowed him to change their thinking from a slave mentality to a conquering mentality. They were ready to go to the next level. And they were able to go in and possess the land. And it's very important to keep your mind focused on the blessings of God if you want to go to the next level. You may be facing all kinds of negative circumstances, but keep your thoughts in line with God's word. Give him praise that the devil's plans for you can't come to pass. And as you begin each day, fill your mind with the word. Instead of saying, "Oh no, it's another day, wonder what's going to happen," begin to declare, "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, send somebody across my path who I can tell about you." Glory be to God. Courage comes when the cause is greater than the circumstances. Joshua and Caleb had a cause and a purpose that motivated them to go into the new land. Our cause and purpose is to go out and tell people about Jesus and set them free from the chains of sin, sickness, and disease. But sometimes we're enjoying our blessings so much that we forget our cause. Thank God for his blessing, but it's important to guard ourselves against the temptation to just sit back and enjoy his blessing and forget our purpose for existence. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. "Wherefore we faint not." Many people quit. They stop, faint, or give up because they either don't have a cause or they have forgotten their cause. And if we're going to go to the next level, we have to remember and live for our cause and our purpose. And when our priority is Jesus Christ and serving him, courage will come. And it's time to get ready to go to the next level. Find out the ideas and principles at work at that level. Renew your mind to God's word. Meditate on it so you can think the right thoughts to take you there. Get the right mindset, a conquering mentality, and refuse to let your thoughts hold you captive. You can win the battle of the mind and possess your promised land this day. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.